Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Memoirs of General William T. Sherman is a 19th century military autobiography by Union General William T. Sherman, first published in 1875 in two volumes. The work covers his early life, education at West Point, pre-war military and civilian experiences, and especially his command role in the American Civil War. Its central value lies in its combination of personal recollection, official correspondence, campaign narrative, and strategic explanation. Sherman writes not as a detached historian, but as a participant seeking to explain decisions made under pressure, defend controversial methods, and preserve his interpretation of the conflict. The memoir is best understood as both a primary source and a shaped self-portrait. It gives detailed attention to Shiloh, Vicksburg, Chattanooga, Atlanta, the March to the Sea, and the Carolinas campaign, while also revealing how Sherman understood discipline, logistics, political authority, and the destructive nature of modern war. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Sherman presents the Civil War through the perspective of operational command. The memoir is distinctive because Sherman writes from the level of a senior commander responsible for moving armies, coordinating subordinates, interpreting orders, and dealing with uncertain information. Many Civil War accounts focus on battlefield experience or political leadership, but Sherman repeatedly emphasizes the operational problems between strategy and combat. He explains how armies had to be fed, supplied, positioned, and kept coherent across difficult terrain and unreliable communications. This viewpoint makes the book valuable for understanding why campaigns unfolded as sequences of movement, delay, improvisation, and adjustment rather than as isolated battles. Sherman also shows how command decisions were shaped by incomplete intelligence and by the personalities of superior and subordinate officers. His account does not present generalship as a purely heroic activity. It is a practical craft involving judgment under pressure, acceptance of risk, and constant attention to material limits. This makes the memoir a major source for readers interested in how Civil War strategy was implemented in real time. Secondly, the memoir explains the logic behind Sherman's hard war strategy. One of the central themes of the book is the idea that defeating the Confederacy required more than winning set piece battles. Sherman believed that the South drew strength from railroads, supply networks, plantations, factories, local morale, and civilian support for the Confederate war effort. His campaigns in Georgia and the Carolinas, therefore, targeted economic infrastructure as well as organized armies. The memoir does not treat destruction as random violence. Sherman presents it as a calculated method to shorten the war by demonstrating that the Confederacy could not protect its interior. This reasoning helps explain the historical importance and controversy of his march to the sea. The book reveals the strategic argument behind actions that many contemporaries and later readers regarded as severe. Sherman insists that war cannot be separated from coercion, yet his own account also exposes the moral tension of that position. The result is a document central to debates about hard war, civilian suffering, and the emergence of modern military practice. Thirdly, campaign narratives show logistics as the foundation of military success. Sherman gives sustained attention to roads, rivers, railroads, depots, rations, ammunition, animals, and transportation because he saw them as decisive elements of campaigning. His accounts of Vicksburg, Chattanooga, Atlanta, and the later marches make clear that armies could not act effectively unless supply systems supported their movements. This focus is not incidental detail. It explains why certain routes were chosen, why delays occurred, and why destroying enemy rail lines could matter as much as occupying a town. Sherman understood that military power depended on the ability to maintain momentum while denying the opponent the same capacity. In the Atlanta campaign, for example, the pressure on rail connections and supply bases shaped the logic of maneuver. In the march through Georgia, the decision to live off the land reduced dependence on vulnerable rear lines and allowed rapid movement through Confederate territory. The memoir, therefore, teaches that logistics is not a background function of war, but one of its central mechanisms. Fourthly, the book records the tensions of leadership, loyalty, and professional judgment. Sherman writes at length about other military and political figures, and these judgments form an important part of the memoir. His portraits of commanders such as Ulysses S. Grant, Henry Halleck, George Thomas, and others are not neutral biographical sketches. They reveal what Sherman valued in leadership: steadiness, clarity of purpose, discipline, and willingness to act. He often contrasts these qualities with hesitation, political interference, or what he saw as poor understanding of military realities. Because the memoir was written after the war, it also carries the marks of reputation management. Sherman defends his own conduct, explains disputes, and sometimes evaluates others bluntly. This makes the book useful but also demanding as evidence. Readers gain insight into the professional culture of the Union High Command, yet they must remember that Sherman is shaping memory as well as reporting events. The memoir shows leadership as relational and contested, dependent on trust, hierarchy, personal temperament, and the ability to maintain authority during crisis. Lastly, Sherman's self-portrait combines candor with selective justification. The memoir has long been valued for its directness, but its candor should not be mistaken for complete objectivity. Sherman includes letters, orders, and reports that strengthen the documentary character of the work. Yet he selects and frames those materials to support his interpretation of events. He wanted to clarify his record, answer critics, and fix his place in the public memory of the war. This gives the book a double nature. It is an indispensable primary source because it preserves the reasoning and recollections of a central Union commander. At the same time, it is a crafted defense of decisions that remained controversial. His treatment of hard war, civilian property, military necessity, and personal conflict reflects both genuine conviction and the pressures of post-war reputation. The book, therefore, rewards careful reading. Its importance lies not only in what it says happened, but in how Sherman wanted the war, his campaigns, and his own character to be understood. In conclusion, Memoirs of General William T. Sherman is best suited for readers who want a primary source view of the American Civil War from inside the Union High Command. Military historians, students of strategy, Civil War readers, and those interested in leadership under extreme pressure will find it especially valuable. Its practical benefit is that it shows how large organizations operate under uncertainty plans depend on logistics, command relationships, communication, morale, and the ability to convert strategic goals into movement on the ground. Its intellectual benefit is more complex. The memoir forces readers to confront the relationship between military necessity and moral cost, especially in Sherman's defense of destructive campaigning against the Confederate war system. Compared with many Civil War memoirs, it stands out for its operational breadth, its attention to infrastructure and supply, and its unusually forceful explanation of hard war. Compared with Grant's memoirs, it is often more argumentative and self-defensive, which can make it less restrained but also revealing. The book remains important because it is not only a record of battles and marches, it is a statement by one of the most consequential and controversial commanders in American military history about what war demanded and what command required. If you would like to support William T. Sherman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.